Good mornings, I'm Chris Oakes, and coming up today, after serving in the interim role for several months, Lindsay Summitt has officially been named as the new Hancock Public Health Commissioner. She'll join us to talk about the job. Also this morning, remember the images of empty animal shelters as scores of people rush to adopt pets, keep them company during the pandemic? Well, now those shelters are full again, and animal rescue groups are asking for your help. And the countdown is on to next week's Hancock County Fair with new amenities, facility upgrades and updates, and even a brand new schedule that sees the event starting a day earlier than before. We'll get a preview. This is the Good Mornings Podcast Edition for Tuesday, August 20th, 2024. So I don't know if you saw this or not, former President Trump shared what I'm assuming is an AI-generated image of Taylor Swift falsely claiming an endorsement. President Trump claiming an endorsement from Taylor Swift in a post on Truth Social over the weekend. Trump posted an image of Taylor Swift dressed as Uncle Sam that said, "Taylor wants you to vote for Donald Trump," with a caption, "I accept." I'm thinking that it was probably AI generated, because to the best of my knowledge, Taylor Swift hasn't endorsed anyone in this. As a matter of fact, for the longest time, Taylor Swift kind of stayed out of politics entirely, but she did voice her support for President Biden the last election. So I'm guessing that is not real, but it is a clever use of artificial intelligence nonetheless. Taylor Swift, it says, has not responded to the post. So just another sign of how weird this presidential election has become. Did you watch any of the first night of the Democratic National Convention last night? Kamala Harris made a surprise appearance to thank Joe Biden for his years of service, and it was a night that was all about the outgoing president, so that was kind of nice. Considering they shoved him out the door, kind of unceremoniously booted him off the ticket, but did give him a very, very nice evening, the opening night of the DNC last night. So let's see what else is going on in the world. This I thought was kind of interesting. Among the first things you need to know, the most interesting and buzzworthy stories of the day. Do you have a pet at home? I'm going to talk about pets a little bit later on. The stories, you remember during the pandemic, shelters were emptied out. Everybody was rushing to adopt a pet because they needed someone or something to keep them company during lockdowns. We had no human contact, so people were going out and adopting pets. Well, apparently, in many of the households with a pet, the pet kind of rules the roost. A survey of 2,000 dog owners finds that the dogs, in many cases, 84% of dog parents, if you will, say that their dogs, they consider their children. 84%. 76% of dog owners think their pup is the main character of their family. And as a result, twice the number of respondents think of their dog before anything else on a stressful day. You're having a stressful day, you just want to get home to see your dog. Not your kids, not your spouse, your dog. Meanwhile, although some dog parents have strong feelings against allowing their dogs at the dinner table or letting them lick their face, nearly half say that they would rather cut some of their own expenses than their dogs. They would rather go without so their dog doesn't have to. So, I don't know. I just thought that was kind of interesting. We are so wrapped up in our pets these days. I just thought that was interesting. So we're coming up on the end of travel season. We were kind of talking about this yesterday on the program, the tail end of summer travel season, the beginning of what's called the shoulder season in between summer travel and holiday travel. And the next time you fly, make note of this. See if there's somebody on the plane that is doing this. It is a new trend called raw dogging. Now, I didn't travel this summer. And so it's been a while since I've been on a plane. I haven't noticed this myself, but the next time you fly, see if there's somebody on the plane who is raw dogging. This is a new trend, and apparently it was started on social media, of flying entertainment free. It is the practice of boarding a flight with no books, no devices, no movies, or any of the in-flight entertainment that you would normally associate with a long plane ride. Instead, you just sit there and get lost in your own thoughts. It is raw dogging. No external entertainment. It also says if you are really raw dogging it, you stare straight ahead without sleeping and sometimes without even eating anything or drinking anything, no water, no nothing. Apparently, this is the big trend, or has been this summer, as a practice of testing one's mental stamina and willpower. Some call it a dopamine detox. But travel experts say it may not be a good idea, particularly not drinking anything, not staying hydrated, because a long flight when you're up in the air, high altitudes in a pressurized environment, you can get dehydrated, and you know that can cause some ill effects. So you're probably best not to go that far. But anyway, people are doing this. I don't know. I can't imagine. I did that when my wife and I flew to Hawaii a few years ago. I did it sort of accidentally. I boarded the flight, and I'm thinking, well, we'll have, you know, in-flight entertainment, and I'll be able to, you know, watch TV or watch a movie or whatever. And of course, sure enough, the in-flight entertainment system was malfunctioning, and it wasn't working. And nobody said anything about it before we got on the plane. They didn't bother to announce it. So I had no reading material. I had nothing on my phone. I had no movies downloaded or anything. So that was a long flight across the Pacific Ocean to Hawaii. So I have done this sort of accidentally. And let me tell you, it is no fun. No fun at all. So anyway, I just thought that was kind of interesting on the Newswire. And a couple of other items here among the first things you need to know, the most interesting and buzzworthy stories of the day. Congratulations to Haman Bekele being honored by Time Magazine as its Kid of the Year. 15-year-old from Fairfax County, Virginia, attends Woodson High School and was chosen for the honor of Kid of the Year because he apparently invented a soap that helps treat skin problems. Everything from acne to some kinds of skin cancer. Yeah. He was the winner of last year's 3M Young Scientist Challenge for his soapy invention, and he says he hopes to make treatment for skin problems more affordable and accessible through his invention. Haman Bekele of Woodson High School in Fairfax County, Virginia, the Kid of the Year, according to Time Magazine. Boy, I tell you what, that's pretty impressive. Just about every other kid look, you know, kind of pale in comparison. You know what I mean? It's pretty impressive. And speaking of kids, there are, you know, some students back in school already, the Findlay City Schools and so on. I think it's Liberty Benton starts later this week, and then most of the other students around our area start after the fair, after Labor Day. If your child is anxious about going back to school, he or she is not alone, and there are ways to ease those jitters. According to Dr. Vanessa Jensen, she is a child psychologist at the Cleveland Clinic. says back to school anxiety is very common, especially among young kids, and the best way to help is not to feed into the anxiety. Don't ask questions like, are you worried about this year? You know, things like that. Don't feed into it. On the other hand, parents should not downplay a child's worries, but instead say things like, we'll get through it together. So, kind of, we're all in this together, and that your child has a partner in this. She says, if your child regularly makes excuses to try and get out of going to school, Dr. Jensen says it is important to speak to a teacher, guidance counselor, or mental health professional because there may be something deeper going on. Don't just dismiss it. Take it seriously, but don't play into it at the same time. Kind of a delicate balance there. Something to keep in mind as we head toward back-to-school season. There you go. Some of the most interesting and buzzworthy stories to get your Tuesday morning started.
WFIN News, I'm Matt Demchek. Your WTOL 11 weather, partly to mostly sunny skies today with a high in the low 70s. Mostly clear tonight, a low around 50. The United Way of Hancock County is letting people know that registration is closing on Friday for its Fall Days of Caring, which will take place in September. Last September, we spoke with Toby from Marathon, who was helping out at Camp Barry during Days of Caring.
Camp Barry has been around Findlay area for a long time, and anything we can do to help out and definitely get out of the office is a great opportunity.
United Way of Hancock County says Days of Caring is a great team-building opportunity for workplaces, civic groups, students, and more. Learn more about Days of Caring in the story on our website. Results of a new Ohio State University study show the anticipated impact that legalized recreational marijuana is expected to have on students.
46% of principals agreed that marijuana consumption by students was already a problem before recreational product was even legalized. 79% of high school principals responded saying this was the case. 50% of principals agreed that marijuana legalization in Ohio is likely to increase marijuana use among their students. And the majority of principals agreed that marijuana legalization will make travel to school less safe for their students.
ONN's Candace Hare reporting. The Ohio State Buckeyes have their starting quarterback for the upcoming season.
Ohio State head coach Ryan Day named Will Howard as the team's starting quarterback for the 2024 season.
He's become a threat both with his legs and with his arm, and the more he understands what he's doing out there, and when he does, he's really executing very well.
The former Kansas State quarterback beat out four others. Day said the backup QB battle will continue.
The Bucks open the season hosting Akron on Saturday, August 31st. The Findlay High School hockey team is letting people know that Findlay Hockey Day is coming up on Saturday, October 12th at the high school. They say the fun community event will include street hockey, shots on net, free food, and much more. Get more details in this story on our website. Remember, you can always get more news online at WFIN.com.
Our cover story this morning, after serving in the interim role for several months, Lindsay Summitt has now officially been named as the new Hancock Public Health Commissioner and joins us in the studio this morning. Madam Commissioner, thanks very much for being with us today. You officially have that title now. That's got to feel good to be able to remove the interim tag.
Yes, it does feel good. I've been in Hancock County though for almost 25 years.
I was gonna say, you've actually been part of Hancock Public Health. I mean, you're the new commissioner, but you've been part of the organization really since the very beginning.
Yes, since the merger, but I was part of the Hancock County Health Department prior to that. Started my public health career back in 1999.
Okay. I don't know if this is necessarily something like a public office in the sense of having goals and priorities and so on for the job, or whether it's more just kind of keeping things moving forward. And I would imagine when it comes to setting goals and priorities, part of that will come from the health assessment that's going on right now. But, you know, talk a little bit about taking over that job and stepping into that role.
So I'm just pretty much stepping in, taking over what Kareem had built. Kareem was a great asset to this community. Mm-hmm. We have the community health assessment that's going on, and that's going to help us strategize with Blanchard Valley Hospital as well on what are the health assessments that are important to our community, mm-hmm. which is why it's very important that everybody in the community, please do your part, take the quick survey. It takes about 10 minutes. That can be found on our website, our social media feeds as well. Also, we would like to thank everybody who has taken it because we've received over 800 responses so far, which is great. Every one of those responses are important and will be looked at as we try to navigate over 26 to 28 because that's the data that we'll be using to mm-hmm. focus on during that time.
Yeah. I know that, obviously during the pandemic, every move that Hancock Public Health made is very much in the spotlight. Everything that not just Hancock Public Health, but public health officials in general, everything that you do is sort of amplified. And a lot of what you do goes on behind the scenes other than, those things that, made those headlines. To a certain extent, I would imagine it's got to be nice to sort of get back to just doing that, doing what you do, I don't want to say in the background, but you know what I mean, outside of all of that spotlight scrutiny.
There was positivity to it because I think a lot of people now know what public health is mm-hmm. because just like you said, we've always been in the background. We always like to take the opportunity for the community to learn really who we are, what we are, and the importance of the work that we do. Mm-hmm. So, I think we've all learned from everything that happened during COVID-19, but I think it has made public health better, hopefully, at least in our mind and to our team. We feel that it's better.
Well, and like you said, you have been involved in the public health space for quite a number of years. What was your biggest takeaway from that whole experience, which obviously was very different than anything that any of us had been through before?
Oh, probably my biggest takeaway was just learning how to better communicate with the public, making sure that we are very upfront and honest with everything that we can be, mm-hmm. Because I think a lot of just government officials were being looked at as keeping things hidden, specifically mm-hmm. in public health. But that was a big learning curve. And just because public health had never been through something to that magnitude. Mm-hmm. In my career, the biggest thing I'd been through so far was the flood that happened in Findlay back in 07.
Yeah.
So quite different.
and so how do you take that and build on that for the future? And knowing that, there might be, whether it's a flood, a pandemic, or whatever, there are going to be those instances when suddenly public health is going to be thrust front and center.
Just continuing to, keep ourselves educated, whether it's myself or the leadership team, making sure that we're completely aware of what's going on. Monitoring social media, because that was just another new dynamic that public health wasn't used to doing. Mm-hmm. So through all of that, we do have a communications person that can help us navigate that better.
And knowing what it is that you know, being clear about what it is that we know and what we don't know about, any public health situation, emergency, what have you, is kind of a challenge sometimes.
Yep, and just sticking straight to the facts, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We're not out here making up our facts. We're doing whatever the CDC or the Ohio Department of Health is giving us the facts to promote.
Yeah. So there are a couple of initiatives that are going on right now. We mentioned the public health assessment, and we've talked about that. A little bit earlier and also with Dr. Coe's Blanchard Valley Health System about a week or so ago. But talk a little bit about the importance of having that public health plan moving forward. I mean, you said, a two-year, two-three-year plan to guide public health within the community. Talk about why that is important.
So that's very important because that helps not only public health, but the health systems and other community partners. For example, Adamus, they're another key player in this. Mm-hmm. And that helps us all focus on where our gaps are in the community moving forward. So, for example, if diabetes is coming to the forefront, then we're going to take a look at what can we do in the community to promote diabetes education, whether it's, you know, whichever agency feels that they should take the lead on that, the hospital, the health department. Mm-hmm. Also taking a look at mental health. So Adamus might be somebody that would take the lead in that. That's why it's very important that we receive information from everybody in this community.
Yeah, I know, and again, talking with Dr. Coase, just in your day-to-day operations, you sometimes get a sense of where those gaps are. And so some of the information that is collected is not necessarily a surprise. It's more validation of what you already believe to be the case. But there are always some things that you don't necessarily expect or things that maybe you didn't realize are going on in the community.
Yes, and again, that's why I'll reiterate, you know, it's very important that everybody please take the survey. We need everybody from all parts, all corners of the county, mm-hmm. All parts of the city, just because if we're only seeing one or two people in the community, well, there's probably a few more that have the same issues. Mm-hmm. And that's the information that's going to make it easier for us to be able to help focus on
yes,
those.
You can see, just how wide-ranging an issue is with the community. And speaking of wide-ranging issues, you referenced the Adamus Board a moment ago, one of the partners that you work with very closely on a number of things. Another initiative that is coming up, and it is, I believe, on Friday, the Overdose Awareness Day event. Again, we know that this is an issue in the community. Why are initiatives like the Overdose Awareness Day so critically important?
Just so we can get out there and help spread awareness and to help be able to provide services to those individuals that may be struggling in that field. Because I think sometimes people feel that they're left behind maybe a little bit. Mm-hmm. But it's, we're here to help. All of the organizations are.
And those you find those people are sometimes difficult to reach with
yes.
the services.
Yes. There's also sometimes barriers there. Mm-hmm. That's why it's important to build trust within those populations as well.
Mm-hmm. That event is happening on Friday, mm-hmm. Correct, at Durney Plaza downtown with a number of resources.
Yes. I'm going to apologize right now. I've not been working on the forefront with that. My partner, Chad, has.
You've been a little busy, actually, with other things that are going on. But
yes, but I know that my team is going to be there and with resources available to help anyone that stops by.
We've got a link for more information about the work of Hancock Public Health. And again, the new official Hancock Public Health Commissioner, Lindsay Summitt, with us this morning. Lindsay, thanks very much for dropping by. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
But you remember during the pandemic, those images of animal shelters with rows after row of empty kennels because people went out and adopted pets to keep them company during the lockdowns, right? Well, guess what? Most of those shelters have filled up again, and in fact, many are over capacity today, and that's where the Clear the Shelters campaign comes in. Animal Planet's Jackson Galaxy is with us this morning to talk about this partnership with Hill's Pet Nutrition and NBC Universal Local, aimed at encouraging Americans to consider the life-changing power of choosing pet adoption. And Jackson would talk about the life-changing power of pet adoption. It really wasn't that long ago. We remember how having a companion animal kept many of us from bouncing off the walls. It is a perfect example of exactly what that's all about.
Yeah, 100%. I think it was such a huge benefit. We put out the call to foster animals, to adopt them when the pandemic started, and folks just rose to the occasion. And you found out so much about what they can bring to our lives. So many first-time pet adopters joined us. It was amazing. And we're looking for those guys to come in again. Now get a second animal or a third, you know, or if it's your first one, you know. We really are in a crisis. 6.5 million animals entered the shelters last year alone, according to Shelter Animals Count. Mm. We're in crisis right now. So we need everyone to step up.
So tell us more about the 2024 Clear the Shelters campaign.
Well, 2024 marks the 10th anniversary of the Clear the Shelters campaign. NBC Universal has been doing an amazing job, and then Hill's Pet Nutrition stepped in, and we've had 1 million animals adopted in 10 years and hundreds of millions of dollars raised. I mean, it's been pretty amazing, but I think this year 150,000 animals is our goal, and we only got a few weeks left to do it, but we did it last year. We can do it again. But it is really necessary right now to create a bit of breathing room right now.
Yeah, as we mentioned, there are many shelters that are not only at but over capacity, so we need to find these animals homes. Talk about navigating the adoption process. And I know it's a little bit different for various shelters, but kind of give us an idea of what that's like for those who haven't done it before and may be interested.
I mean, we're going to make it as easy as possible on you. I mean, what you want to do is have a picture in your head of who you want. I mean, of course, species, cat, dog, bunny, whomever, but then energy level and age and other animals you have in your house and then getting along together, kids, you know, the whole picture. How do they fit into the picture? Then just leave the rest to us. When you come in, you're going to be met with people who are just as passionate as you are. They care about making the right match and keeping you guys together after you adopt, which is, I think, a really important point. But really, all you have to do is just get ready in that way. And then, of course, the animals are going to pick you once you get into that shelter. But beyond that, that's all you need to go. And also just prepare your home. Just make sure that you have an area that I call base camp. That's, you know, where the animal can go, decompress a little bit. Remember, they've had a long journey. Now they get to just call home, but, you know, a couple days will help.
Yeah, that's why I was going to ask. Talk a little bit about that transition process. Once you bring a new animal into the home, it is pretty common for it to take a few days for, you know, things to kind of settle into a routine. Don't panic if things are not immediately smooth, because there is an adjustment for everyone involved.
That's a great point. There's adjustment involved in both ends of the equation here. But if you just put yourself in their paws for a second, they've had a tough go, no matter how long they were in the shelter. Just if you could just think about for animals that define confidence by territory, they've been without it. And once they get into a new place, they have to trust the place, they have to trust the people, and that takes a minute, you know. And we don't get to just say to them in English, hey, don't worry, I'm your buddy, I'm going to take care of you, you're home for good, you're not going anywhere.
Yeah.
Give them just a little breathing room, you know, and honestly, they'll come around.
Are there things that we can proactively do to send that message? Again, we can't communicate verbally with them, aside from giving them the space that they need to sort of settle in and get their bearings. Are there things that we can do proactively to help facilitate that adjustment?
I mean, I think, you know, in my experience, when you set up that base camp and you go into the room with them, allow them to come to you. Animals want to feel like they're making choices. And I'm especially talking about cats. They want to feel that level of confidence. And so if you come in there with treats and with toys, believe me, these guys will engage. It just might take a second. But get to know each other the way you would get to know anybody, two-legged or four. Nobody wants to, you know, have a stranger walk up to them and pat them on the head. You know, I don't even know who you are. Just let them come to you. That's in a human way, that would be even a bigger offense. But still, you know, just let them come to you. Bring good stuff in there. You're Santa Claus. You sit down and enjoy it. But just remember, the pace should be theirs.
And just to underscore something you were mentioning earlier, and I think this is so very important. So often we think about, we go into the shelter and we'll just immediately fall in love with, you know, one of the animals there. But taking the moment to tell the folks at the shelter what type of environment you have, what type of home you have, other animals you know, your lifestyle and so on can help make for a better match.
Yeah. I mean, you're not even, before you form a relationship with an animal, you get to have a relationship with your adoption counselor or volunteer.
Yeah.
They will help hook you together with the experience of potentially the foster parent who took care of this animal before. We have a story of this animal who's coming to you, and you get to make yourself part of that story.
Mm-hmm.
But it's important for you to know who you can support also. I mean, space can be a consideration.
Right.
Finances can be, but we're here to help you.
And by the way, should also mention that even if you can't actually adopt, you can still help in this campaign.
100%. We need foster parents as much as we need adopters, because foster parents allow us to get that breeding room year after year by helping us, in the cat world during kitten season. We need to help clear those shelters of kittens, and you can absolutely help in that way. And also, if you can't do either one, then donate. Hills Pet Nutrition can't be the only one funding all this, even though them and Greater Good pair up to make sure that 100% of donations go where they're supposed to go, and that's a fact. We still need that 100% of money to come in the first place. So any way you can help, helps, believe me.
Again, Animal Planet's Jackson Galaxy with us this morning for the Clear the Shelters campaign. Where do we get more information, Jackson?
Just go to hillsclearthesheltbears.com. Very simple. You'll be taken through a couple of prompts. You add in your zip code. We find you a shelter. You're on your way. hillsclearthesheltbears.com.
Jackson Galaxy, thanks very much for taking the time. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
This is Good Mornings with Chris Oakes on 1330 WFIN, WFIN.com, and 95.5 FM.
We interrupt this program to bring you a broken news alert.
Dateline Clearwater, Florida, where a woman is now facing charges for disagreement with her sibling that escalated. This is the story. 21-year-old Nakia Davis, 21 years old, was angry that her sister would not share her ravioli dinner after bringing it home for herself. She wanted some of the ravioli. Her sister would not share. The anger turned into Ms. Davis throwing a plate of ravioli at her sister, which resulted in a battery charge. Assault with ravioli. That escalated quickly. Ms. Davis was charged with misdemeanor domestic battery, spent a night in jail before being released on her own recognizance. A judge has ordered Ms. Davis to have no contact with her sister. Again, this is one of those stories where you wonder what it must be like to spend the night in the slammer. Your cellmate is, what are you in for? I assaulted my sister with ravioli. I'm in for a ravioli assault. Hardened criminal. Be sure. Speaking of people in jail, some people never learn. A man released from the Montgomery County Jail in Texas on Friday, already back behind bars. Police in Shenandoah, Texas, say the man had no sooner been released from jail than he stole a truck from the parking lot. The moment he was released, didn't even get out of the parking lot, stole a truck from the parking lot of the jail. Police stopped the truck on Interstate 45 as the driver headed for Houston. They arrested the man, who told them he stole the truck because he was tired of waiting at the jail for a ride and just wanted to go home. Well, I can certainly understand that. I mean, I don't know how long he was in jail, but I would imagine, you get free, you don't want to wait around for your ride. What's a guy to do? I can sympathize. But he is now back behind bars, back in jail, and charged with motor vehicle theft. So he'll be there for a while longer yet. Next time, just wait for the Uber.
sometimes the dumb criminals aren't the ones in jail. They're the ones that are overseeing the ones that are in jail. A now crazy story. A now former county maintenance employee in Louisiana is out of a job and facing a charge of malfeasance in office. Deputies arrested 56-year-old Donald Hammonds on Friday. Now, mind you, he is an employee of the county jail. Investigators say that Mr. Hammonds took an inmate from the jail to the inmate's home and bought guns from him. He took the inmate from the... Apparently, the inmate said, hey, I've got a gun, I can tell you. So he took the inmate from the jail back to the inmate's home and bought guns from him. Mr. Hammonds reportedly admitted to the transaction when he was questioned last month. He turned in the guns that he purchased and was fired from his job. Alrighty then. I would think that the folks in this county in Louisiana, parish, you know, they don't call them counties in Louisiana, they call them parishes. I would imagine that people are asking some serious questions about the job interview process for screening prospective hires. This particular facility. Let's see here. This is a story of somebody going really overboard. I mean, sometimes you talk about overreacting. A man in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, was arrested after pointing a gun at candy store workers there in Myrtle Beach during a dispute over the store's return policy. Several customers, including children, witnessed the incident in which 36-year-old Joshua Kim pulled a gun on two employees at the Sugar Life Ice Cream and Candy Bar after one of the workers told him that he couldn't get a refund on some candy that he wanted to return. All sales final. He could not return the candy. And he was not happy with that answer. A manager at the store said they don't do returns on candy, which they make clear during the checkout process. Officers later arrested Mr. Kim, along with his cohort, 35-year-old Chelsea Lowe, at a nearby Myrtle Beach resort, where they also found marijuana and cocaine, leading to drug charges for both of them as well. Mr. Kim was also charged with two counts of pointing and presenting firearms at a person and unlawful conduct toward a child. The children in the store at the time. So, talk about a massive overreaction. Being told you can't return the candy that you bought. Yeah, I don't want secondhand candy. I don't want, that's not something you can just put back on the shelf, you know? And lastly, in today's broken news report, this is how you know you're having a bad day. A bride-to-be in Georgia had a unique experience ahead of her wedding day when her dog, an Australian shepherd named Charlie, ate her engagement ring ahead of the big day. Ate her engagement ring, the dog did. The dog was caught chewing on the ring, and as a result, he had loosened the prongs on the ring, allowing the diamond to become loose. And when the diamond went missing, the soon-to-be bride, Chloe Miller, deduced that her dog had swallowed it. Apparently, Charlie, the Australian shepherd, has a taste for this sort of thing, as Chloe admitted in an online video that jewelry is the one thing that the dog likes to chew on. I'm thinking some retraining may be in order here. Likes to chew on jewelry. That could be a problem. And it did turn out to be a problem. The diamond story has a happy ending, sort of. The diamond was later recovered 2 days later, you know, when it passed out the other end. Having to sift through all of that. Would you even want your engagement ring back after all of that? The diamond in your engagement ring? I guess you would. It's pretty valuable. By the way, to make matters worse, the diamond had not been insured. So had he not come out the other end, it would have been a major problem. Fortunately, it was found. But I think two things on the to-do list for Chloe and her fiance. Number one, get Charlie some retraining. Get, you know, puppy school for Charlie, the Australian Shepherd. And number two, insure that ring. Insure that diamond. There you go. That is today's Broken News Report. An update on the odd and unusual side of the headlines. We now return you to your regularly scheduled programming.
The Findlay Trojans play here on WFIN. This is Tim Montgomery. Join me and Coach Cliff Hite for all the action of Trojan football. You'll get every exciting play each Friday night, all season long, home and away. The Trojans open the season this Friday night at Toledo Central Catholic. Findlay Trojan football is here on 1330 WFIN, WFIN.com, and 95.5 FM.
And now your daily download, the numbers behind the news and the statistics that shape our lives. Here is a rather interesting and eye-opening study, which says that people who watch more than 5 hours of TV a day, how much TV do you watch? Those who watch more than 5 hours of TV each day have a 44% higher risk of developing dementia. That's right. Watching excessive amounts of TV can increase the risk of dementia. The study's findings were associated with higher rates of not only dementia, but also stroke and Parkinson's disease as well, with up to 3 hours of TV per day being found to be the best for brain health. That's kind of the sweet spot. 3 hours a day. Anything more than that, and you may have problems. In the study, more than 400,000 people were analyzed their TV habits. Participants ranged from the age of 37 to 73, with 40,000 of them having brain scans, and none had been diagnosed with any prior brain disorder. So starting with a clean slate here. During the follow-up, which lasted 13 years. This is a very extensive study, 13-year follow-up. 5,227 of the people in the study developed dementia. 6,822 had a stroke, and 2,308 were diagnosed with Parkinson's disease. The healthiest of those in the study watched TV for 2.7 hours a day. 2.7 to be exact, so just under 3 hours a day. For those who watch 3 to 5 hours a day, they were associated with a 15% higher risk of developing dementia compared to those who watched for an hour or less. Participants who watch more than 5 hours had a 44% higher risk, plus a 12% increased risk of stroke, and a 28% increased risk of Parkinson's. Wow. So again, very extensive study. Again, multi-year, you know, 13 years of follow-up with all of this. I don't know that they are necessarily saying causation here. Again, difference between causation and correlation. More than likely, people who sit in front of the tube for multiple hours of the day are being less active, are doing less of the things that we know can prevent some of these issues like stroke and dementia and so on, these healthy habits. If you're sitting in front of the tube, you probably don't have those healthy habits. So it's not necessarily a causation, just a correlation, but it is interesting nonetheless and just continues to emphasize the importance of getting up off your butt and getting moving, doing those healthy habits. You know, we've been talking about how the weather this week is really putting us in the frame of mind at the end of summer and the coming fall season. Talking about football weather and all of that. And, of course, the annual end of summer bash, the Hancock County Fair, right around the corner. In fact, don't look now, but we are exactly 1 week away from the opening of the Hancock County Fair. And I know what you're thinking. Wait a minute. It's only Tuesday. How can it be 1 week away? But yes, the fair actually begins a day earlier this year on August 27th. We'll be there all week, taking the show to the fair, of course. But ahead of that, we recently spoke with fair and events manager Haley Reese about all the new amenities, the facility upgrades and updates that have been done since last year, and this brand new schedule for the fair. Talk about what has been happening over the winter and spring since the 2023 Hancock County Fair.
We're super excited to reveal the new Junior Fair building. So in years past, everyone knows that the Junior Fair board has been housed in a storage trailer located next to the Senior Fair office.
Mm-hmm.
That trailer has been removed, and what many consider to be the old poultry building has been converted into a office space for the Junior Fair Board. So not only does it give the Junior Fair Board a brand new building, but it puts them right in the heartbeat of the fair. They will be easy to access. They can get to every building that they need to and the show arenas and be present amongst the vendors and fairgoers. It is a beautiful facility. In the off season, so outside of the fair, we are going to have that building available as a free rental space for youth organizations. So think FFA, 4-H, Girl Scouts, Boy Scouts. It's certainly not limited to those organizations, but we are excited to be able to offer that as a free meeting space for youth organizations. It will also be a rental space for any of the shows or perennial events, renters, et cetera, that visit the fairgrounds that would like to use that as a rental space for their shows. And since the old Junior Fair trailer is no longer in its location, we have moved the paging booth, porta patio, picnic tables. We're going to have sunshades and party lights, and we're going to have a really beautiful relaxation patio area situated in between the Merchants Building and the Senior Fair office for fairgoers and renters to enjoy all year round. Hancock County Farm Bureau is sponsoring a beautiful, gigantic mural that is going to wrap the wall around the Merchants Building. Our bathroom remodel,
okay.
New floors, new dividers, new paint. They are beautiful. They are fabulous. Then directly after the fair, we will be channeling some of our other funds that we received in past years, such as the ARP grant, to add a shower house onto the back of that restroom directly next to the grandstand. So by the 2025 rental season and the 2025 fair, everyone can experience a brand new shower house and those renovated restrooms as well. So I'm really excited for everyone to see the fairgrounds if they haven't already.
Yeah.
When it comes to the fair and just everything that has happened, a lot of things have happened in 2024.
Yeah.
And I know I keep saying I'm excited, but I truly am excited that we've been able to accomplish as many things as we have. And the fairgrounds is looking completely different. And
yeah.
We really love that.
Well, and especially considering the fact that a few years ago, you know, there was no fair and there were a lot of question marks and, you know, who knows what's going to happen and so on. And obviously quite the influx of funds via grants and various monies that have come in. I mean, how incredibly valuable has that been to come, especially at this time, to facilitate all of these improvements?
It's been so instrumental. It's crazy to think that just a couple few years ago, we were all homebound.
Yeah.
And now we are flourishing. These grant opportunities are available that are kind of once in a lifetime, so to speak. We've also been fortunate that the fairgrounds has really picked up foot traffic as far as rentals. So instead of a lot of people think of the Hancock County Fairgrounds or really any fairgrounds in general as just a one-week a year place to go just for the county fair.
Yeah.
But the Hancock County Agricultural Society and their fairgrounds is really fortunate that it is a 52-week a year operation. And we are very unique in that aspect. And it allows us to do things all year round, and it doesn't just sit. It welcomes people all year round.
By the way, speaking of that 1 week a year for the Hancock County Fair, there is a bit of a change to the fair schedule this year. It'll actually be starting on Tuesday before Labor Day rather than Wednesday before Labor Day.
That is correct. Tuesday, August 27th, we will kick off the Hancock County Fair. That moves our opening ceremonies to Monday evening.
Mm-hmm.
We do have all of the daily and evening schedules posted for people to view so they know what's going on when. And then Monday, Labor Day, will be a free day to attend the fair. And everything will be released by noon. So the feature of the day will be the livestock sale. That is really going to be the focus of that day. And the idea of adding the extra day to the fair was everybody knows the last day rush of Labor Day.
Right.
Everyone's, you know, kids start school the next day and it's really just exhausting. So by pushing the fair back a day, we were hoping that that would really help everybody out, get everyone home a little earlier, be able to prepare for the next school day and have a great year.
Yeah. By the way, tickets are on sale for the Hancock County Fair.
Correct. Those are available. So you can go onto the website and purchase tickets so you can get those anytime.
Again, Haley Reese is Fair and Events Manager with us this morning. Haley, thanks very much for the update.
All right. Thank you so much.
Oh, we're certainly looking forward to it. Again, our conversation with Hancock County Fair and Events Manager Haley Reese. Hancock County Fair just 1 week away, and we'll be there beginning opening day. But for now, that puts a wrap on today's podcast. I want to thank all of our guests for joining us on the program this morning. Remember, you can get more information about all of the topics that we talk about each and every day on the show at our webpage. And that, of course, is goodmornings.net. So until tomorrow morning, that is Good Mornings for this morning. Now that you've had a good morning, go on out and make it a good day. Catch you back here tomorrow.